And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme for Epiphany Day and Epiphany season is the revelation of God's glory in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ, through various parts of Christ's life. And so it's customary through Epiphany to talk about God leading the wise men to the child Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, where God's, the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Also the miracle of Christ changing the water into wine at the wedding of Cana, and the disciples saw Christ's glory and believed in him. This evening, we're going to be looking at Matthew 2, the narrative of the wise men being led to the child Jesus. And so the title of my message this evening is, "What is Wisdom?" These men, who we call wise men, are brought to the child Jesus. And I want to focus on the wisdom of God that led them to the Messiah. So my first point is the path of wisdom means following the light of Scripture and God's special guidance. The wise men looked for the King of Israel in Jerusalem, which was the center of Israel's place of worship, the temple. Jerusalem was also the place of Israel's monarchy. It's the place where from Saul on, and probably the pinnacle, the high point of Israel's monarchy was in David. And so their own intuition about where to search for the king had them go as far as Jerusalem. But God intervened with the light of his word and the supernatural light of that star to bring them to Bethlehem. We read these words in Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For this was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The major leg of their journey was completed once the wise men came to Jerusalem. But they absolutely needed further direction to find Jesus. It's a little like saying, "I want to go look for somebody in Maryland, so I'll go to Annapolis." But now where? In this last leg of their journey, God used two methods to bring the wise men to Jesus. He used the scripture, the prophecy of Micah 5. He also used the supernatural light in the sky to this specific house where Mary and Jesus were. This is a mystery that's involved here, because ordinarily a light from a star doesn't point to a particular town or a particular house in a town. But with all that mystery, we can say that God led the wise men through this unique sign to the child Jesus. Matthew 2:9 says this, "And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was." There's mystery there. I live at 409 Rockway Road. It's hard for me to imagine that it's going to specifically focus on my house. But in this case, it did. I want to make one further application. We need to be led by the teaching of God's written word, and this has direct application to us. We have the word of God. On the other hand, the wise men were led in a unique way by the light of that star, which is not promised to us in that particular way. Herod knew nothing of the birth of a king, but was politically astute enough to recognize the political nature of the wise men's claim and paranoid to take action. How true those words are in Matthew 2, that once Herod was upset, all Jerusalem with him. We're told by history that numerous times in King Herod's reign, if he saw any threat to his rule, he had the people executed who were a threat, or at least those he thought were a threat to his rule, and that included members of his own family. So when he was upset, all Jerusalem also was upset. Matthew emphasizes the kingship of Jesus in the report of the priests to Herod. Citing Micah 5:2, Micah speaks of one who will be king over Israel. This king will shepherd the Lord's flock. The Messiah is the king of Israel. But it is only once Micah has established that the Messiah will be king over Israel, he goes on to say in Micah 5:4 that this same king shall be great to the ends of the earth. It is because Jesus is the king of Israel in fulfillment of the Lord's promise through the prophets that the good news about him then goes to all the ends of the earth. The wise men are the first who foreshadow this future. It's almost as if there are bookends in Matthew's gospel. At the beginning, we're told these wise men, presumably coming from the east, were Gentiles. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, the Lord gives the great commission that the apostles are to go and make disciples of all the nations, all nations. And so here at the beginning and at the end of the gospel, we see the light of Christ going to the Gentiles, to all the nations of the world. This good news is only good news to the Gentiles because it reveals that the God of Israel is unlike the small g gods of the nations. He does what he says he will do, and then he fulfills his promise to his own people. Specifically, he fulfills his promise to his people in that he will cleanse us from our sins and adopt us as God's children. It is this faithfulness just as much as the amazing report that Jesus was risen from the dead that draws the Gentiles to give glory to the God of Israel and submit to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of course, this carries the same ramifications for Caesar and all the other rulers and gods of this age as it did for Herod. Their days are numbered. Their reign will one day end either when they die or they are dethroned. But their reign doesn't last forever and ever. But the Lord, the King of Israel, his reign shall never end, and his reign goes to the ends of the earth. And so wisdom means following Scripture and following the light of Christ. Point number two, the path of wisdom means giving to Christ what is due him out of his abundant mercy to us. Matthew 2:11 says this, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Here the wise men come to the child and as a very unique expression, kneel before the king, worship him, and give him glory. The wise men give to the child what is due him. They worship him. And it is right and fitting that they worship him because this child is God. This isn't the only instance in Matthew's gospel where people encounter Jesus and they bow before him and worship him. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, after Jesus calmed the storm, those who were with him on the boat worshiped Jesus. They recognized that he had power and authority over nature because Jesus called out to the storm, "Be still," and it happened immediately, showing himself to be the God of creation who has sovereignty over nature. After Jesus was raised from the dead, the women encountered the risen Lord and worshiped him. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he is about to give the charge to his disciples to make disciples of all nations. And it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. And so throughout Matthew's gospel, we have people encountering the Christ, seeing his glory, and worshiping the Lord Jesus. In each of these instances, the followers of the Lord Jesus give him his due by acknowledging who he is and worship him as God the Son. The last part of Matthew 2:11 says this, then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men give these gifts to the child and by extension to his parents in recognition of the child's identity. I don't know whether the wise men understood the significance of these gifts that they brought, but there are at least two passages in the Old Testament which speak of Gentiles bringing gold and frankincense to Israel's king. Isaiah 72, verses 10 and 11 say this, let the kings of Tarshish and of the islands bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts, and let all the kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. Isaiah 60, verse 6, which was our Old Testament lesson, verse 6 says, a multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. So Matthew records the giving of the gifts of the wise men to Christ to show the fulfillment of these Old Testament passages where the Gentiles bring their wealth to Israel's king. Their gifts to Christ flow from their worship and recognition of Christ as God, which is evident in their worship of him. That brings me to my third point. The path of wisdom means obeying God and not fearing the wrath of man. Matthew 2:12 says this, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Godly wisdom is built on this fact that God is God and we are not. And so we need to give a special reverence and obedience to God, even if it contradicts what human rulers want us to do. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. These wise men exemplify godly wisdom and reverence in that they follow God's word given to them in a dream, not to return to Herod, but to follow an alternate route to their country. Let's think about this for a minute. As they do that, and as they're doing that, you have to think that the thought crossed their mind, what if we get pulled over, so to speak? Herod sends his henchmen and have them followed. To me, it's always curious, why didn't Herod send some contingent of soldiers to go follow them anyway? But he didn't. But the thought had to go through their mind, what if we get caught? This is going to look rather suspicious. We're not going back to him, and he specifically told us to go back and report to him. The rest of his line was hooey, so I might worship him. Yeah, right. If they had been caught by Herod's soldier going to make connections or find this king, he would have killed them. And so their lives were in danger in the very fact that they were not going back to Herod. As I've already mentioned, historical records indicate that Herod executed members of his own family when he thought they were a threat to his reign. Herod used violence and intimidation to maintain his power, and that's nothing unusual. In ancient times, you ruled with an iron fist. In the case of the wise men, had they been caught going a different route to avoid Herod, they would have been in trouble. Despite the risks they were taking in bypassing Herod, they followed the warnings they were given in their dream. In obedience to God, they demonstrated their holy reverence for God and their qualified respect and honor for an earthly authority. As the apostle Peter and John remind those very authorities who had imprisoned them and had warned Peter and John to stop preaching the message of Christ, Peter said in Acts 5:29, "We must obey God rather than men." When human authorities are in conflict with God's word and moral will, we must obey God. The wise men made this hard choice and went home another way in obedience to God and were kept safe by God. The wise men show us the path of wisdom, the wisdom that led them to the Lord and Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. The details of how this child would save the world were not realized at this point in Jesus' life, but in time it would become clear to those who had eyes to see and ears to hear the message of God's written word and his eternal word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and man and dwelt among us for our salvation. May Christ's love be reflected in our lives as we worship him and we give all that we are and all that we have at his feet to serve him. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we give you praise and thanks that you guided the wise men to your Son by the light of the star in the east. Grant us grace to guide us in our journey through life, that by the light of your Son, we may follow him who is the light of the world. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.